And welcome to the weekend. This is your host, Jim Stevens, for the Sandler Training Hour. We come to you each and every weekend bringing you tidings of great joy regarding business, business development, management, communication, human interaction skills. And I'm happy to have with me today online my friend, Kim Booker. Kim is from the Fort Worth area. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Really glad to be here.
Had a little bit of an opportunity to visit with Kim and find out about her background, and I'm telling you, you're in for a treat because this is a woman who has conquered the world. Kim, share with the listeners what got you into the business and a little bit about your background before you came to Sandler.
Okay. I have been in sales, my whole life, for about 25 years, and been to a lot of different sales training. Owned a business prior to Sandler for 15 years. We had insurance agencies and a financial advisor, and I sold it about 5 years ago. Between me and my employees, we've been to lots of different sales training.
Yeah.
So I'd taken some time off after selling my business, gone back to school a little bit, and then I was consulting business owners. And I had a coach, and she said, Kim, you're creating all this stuff. You should go to Sandler. And I said, Sandler, how come I have never heard of it? I've been to a lot of training. And
Right. Boy,
I looked it up immediately, as I told you, Jim. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I have been looking for this. This is perfect. And flew to meet the Sandler people and the great people. And I just couldn't believe that it was such a great fit at that time in my life. And it's really just everything about it has been a great decision.
One of our rules in Sandler is in order to be good at sales, you have to be decisive. And Kim holds the record of the fastest franchise purchase in history. Took her all of what, 3 days to buy a franchise?
That's right. I mean, I happened to call on the right day, and y'all were having a conference, and by Wednesday I was there, and Friday I had signed. So it was just great.
That's phenomenal. Part of your background has involved things like management, building a sales team, being in sales yourself. What about Sandler is it that you think, wow, that really answers what I was looking for?
I think there's two key things. One is I think that when you talk especially about salespeople and sales managers, which I think is a tougher job than managing people is always difficult, but
Right. Managing
salespeople really a lot more difficult. Sandler rolls up those three things. We talk about it, behavior, attitude, and technique. But it comes into some competencies and some core skills that make people successful and pushes them away from the rest of the pack, no matter what their external circumstances or competitive environment are or what they're selling. That's what I like about Sandler, because I've always believed it's not what you're selling, but we work on those core, we work on character, we work on attitude, and we also give techniques and practice and all of that that can really see people transform, and that's one thing I really enjoy. And then the other thing is, boy, we get to work with people in all different businesses, and in my time with Sandler, we get to work in so many areas, and that's what's enjoyable, right? We're working with
Yeah. Salespeople
and sales managers, but we might help people hire and assess and tell how do they build their teams. And sometimes we even get, we really get close to those business owners as well and some strategic things. And I just enjoy all of that. So those are the two great things about Sandler.
It's so rewarding to be involved not only in business development, but in people development. And I often find myself in the role of marriage counselor, consultant, executive coach, all thanks to what I do in Sandler training. So we really do get to touch lives in some very unique ways.
And one of the other gentlemen that started with me in Sandler, when we first went, we said one thing. We said, you know what? If for any reason this isn't a fit for us, we will always be working on our personal development. That is exactly what we do every day. We learn as much from the people. And then every day when I'm getting up, you're thinking, hey, I got to practice what I preach. You know, we're talking about goal setting today. And I can't think of a better opportunity. But, you know, every day when we are in those classes, we are learning as much from our students than, you know, they are getting from us. And they learn from each other. And that's also a great dynamic.
If you've just joined us, by the way, my name's Jim Stevens. I'm the host of the program, Sandler Training Hour. And my guest today is Kim Booker. Kim is in Fort Worth. She's a Sandler trainer, a mentor, and coach. And she joins us today to share with us some of her expertise. If you'd like more information, you can call us at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Or you can get us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Kim and I have been talking a little bit about this thing we call BAT, Behavior Attitude Technique. If you can imagine in your mind a triangle, the way we position this is the pyramid, the top of the triangle is attitude, the lower left-hand side is behavior, and the right-hand side is technique. These three things play together to really build success. So Kim, talk to our listeners a little bit about this BAT triangle.
Well, you know, sometimes we talk about, we'll ask people, you know, which one is the most important. And, you know, there's a pretty good percentage of people that will say, well, without attitude, you know, that's the most important. And some people will say, well, you know, you need the behaviors, which kind of is the activity. And then some people think, well, if I just have the right technique, the right objection handling verbiage, I can do anything. And it really is key that you have all three and you work on all three. And a lot of times, especially in our management classes, we'll say, you can't just, you know, tell people to kind of like the Nike swoosh, right? Just go do it. Sometimes, especially in sales, the attitude is really critical because, you know, you're out there getting some no's. Hopefully, if you're not, you're probably not calling on enough people, but you need to work on that. And as a manager, you know, coach around that. And then you also, I can have the best attitude and be happy and be chit-chatty, which is, you know, and that's my nature, by the way, but a lot of people hire salespeople because they can talk to people, but I also have to be willing to do those behaviors, and prospecting is a behavior that people tend to avoid because not everybody may say, yes, 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 I need your stuff. So we got to, even if they have a great attitude and outlook, we got to make sure they're getting out there and are they spending the time right. And I have really bought into, even when I first started Sandler, I might have thought, well, it's all about the attitude. No, we've got to have the behavior. And then even if I'm making my calls, Jim, and I feel pretty good about it, and I know I should be doing it, boy, if I don't, I only have a few minutes to get somebody to listen to me or to decide whether or not they're willing to let me continue. So if I don't have a technique, that's where we go wrong, too. The people, sometimes they're like, well, I'm making the calls, I feel good about it, but I'm probably not saying the right things, or maybe I don't know what I should be saying and what I should be doing. Am I talking the right? So that's where the technique comes in, and you really got to work on all three to really have a successful sales team.
Boy, that is so true. And very often people come to us saying, well, you know, if you just give me the right technique, but a good technique in the hands of someone who doesn't believe it will never get used. So one of the keys to building good attitude, behavior, and technique is taking out the garbage, clearing out the head trash, getting your brain engaged with success. What are some tips and tactics you would share with our listeners regarding getting your head in the game?
One thing that I learned before I came to Sandler that a seasoned, very good salesperson told me, and I continue to teach it, is he said, one thing as a salesperson is to focus on what's on the menu. This is just an idea, kind of a concept. His idea is if I went to my favorite diner every day, every week, you know, we went out there and had a great meal. We always order the same dish. And you know what? We went again and they've got new ownership, needed to spice it up, and my favorite dish wasn't there. Well, I need to look at the menu and say, okay, I'm willing to try something else. What's on the menu today that I might like, but it's different? The idea behind that was in sales, every organization I've ever dealt with, from the very largest to the very top, they have to adapt to remain competitive. And so a salesperson to be successful has to get their mind around, if I focus on what I can't do, if I focus on what my competition is doing, I mean, I want you to understand it, but I mean, in other words, if they drop their prices, you can't really control that. To be able to go, it's what is on the menu this year? What is profitable for my company? What are they encouraging me to sell? What is it that I know that I can go after a vertical market? And yes, we may be the most expensive, but there are people out there that will pay for that quality or my service or our expertise, and they are able to zone out things they can't control, and they're focusing on what they can. Sometimes I'll have people draw kind of a circle, then there'll be a circle of concern, then we'll draw a circle of control. And I'll say, I want you to write down everything here you're concerned about. Well, maybe I won't make as much money this year. Well, we stopped this product, or all these other things. Then, okay, over here we're going to focus on what I can control. And then we write all that down. Okay, this is what I control. I can make these kind of calls. I can work on my technique. I can practice. I can make more calls. You know, we can do all that. If they do not overlap anywhere, if there's not anywhere they overlap, I have got to learn to let that go, right? Mm-hmm. If I can't control it, but I'm concerned about it. Otherwise, it will take so much energy and cause stress, and I can't clear my head.
So ideally, if we could get the concern and the control to be overlapping, that's the place where you'll find the most personal power.
That's exactly right.
If you've just joined us, this is the Sandler Training Hour. We're coming up to the hard stop on the end of our first segment. Our guest today is Kim Booker. Kim is from Fort Worth, and she's bringing to us some insights on behavior, attitude, and technique. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at area code 208-429-9275 or reach us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We will be back right after this. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Our initial no-cost analysis will help you see the four steps required to achieve success. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens, and I have as my guest today, Susan Graham. Susan is the owner of Senior Edge Legal, and they're a firm here in Boise that specializes in helping us avoid our greatest fears as we age. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jim.
Share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm an elder law attorney, and in our business, we help clients develop clear, actionable estate plans to address their concerns as they age. The concerns that they have, they're often worried about losing their assets, leaving families in a mess because most families have dysfunctional families, being a burden to their families as they age.
Mm. You know, most of us think we'll never die.
That's quite true.
And we don't like to think about dying, and we don't like to talk about it. I have some aging parents that getting them to discuss the topic is just very awkward. So your services are well needed in our community. What kind of clients do you typically end up serving?
Our clients are usually people who are in retirement or anticipating retirement. And the fun part about it is to help them create plans ahead of time to deal with the obvious issues of aging. When you age, you slowly fall apart, whether you like it or not.
Right. And most of us don't think ahead to plan.
No, that's quite true. Less than 60% of the people in this country don't plan for aging and dying.
So what are some of the action plans that you suggest people take to make sure that they're aging, I don't know, gracefully or prepared for what's going to happen as they age?
Very simple steps would be two documents that they need to sign. One is a financial power of attorney that gives other people the right to do modest business on their behalf if they're too ill to do something. Mm-hmm. The other really important document is a living will and a health power of attorney. And the living will says if a doctor says you're going to die soon, what kind of care you receive, from the extreme of using every fancy machine out there and tubes, nose tubes, and stomach tubes to just keep me comfortable and let me go. And then there's a companion document with that living will that's called a health power of attorney. And this is who can talk to the doctor if you can't communicate effectively.
How does one go about selecting someone to be there to sign the power of attorney? Or how do you go about deciding who in your family should do business on your behalf?
Those are important decisions for people. And usually you know in your circle of family or friends who are the ones you can trust and rely on to step up in those emergencies. And if you can't find somebody to do that, that's really useful information, because then you need to get even more serious about finding a professional who can help fill that gap.
And are there people? Who would you go about hiring for that?
Yes, you can. On the financial power of attorney, you could ask your CPA or your attorney or another professional to assist in that. Mm-hmm. The other, on the health powers of attorney, there are professional guardians in this community who will assume that role.
Mm. So it's really educating yourself so that you know what's available. And I'm curious, I would imagine some of your business may help clients review their current plans. Do you do that?
Correct. For our clients, we recommend that they have their plans reviewed every 3 to 5 years, whether they think they need to or not. Part of the reason once people set up plans, they just sort of kick them in the corner and think they've got it all covered.
Right.
But the law changes, their relationship with people change, their money changes, their health changes. So those things, those changes seriously impact the original plan that they set up.
So if you're just joining us, I'm your host, Jim Stevens with Entrepreneur Radio. And my guest today is Susan Graham. Susan's with Senior Legal Edge. And is it okay if I share your phone number?
Sure.
If somebody's interested in reaching out to Susan, their number is area code 208-344-0375. That's 344-0375. Now, Susan, as I understand it, you do a workshop like every month or every other month. Tell us a little bit about your workshop.
That's correct. We do a public workshop every other month, and we have two programs each day, one at 10 and one at 2. Those programs last for about an hour and a half.
And is there a fee to attend?
No, there's no charge for these.
Okay.
And they're interactive gatherings where people share their concerns and I address their questions and I provide some basic information, and we also give out for free the living wills, health powers of attorney, and financial powers of attorney.
So the documents we talked about earlier are available at no charge if you attend the briefing.
That's correct.
Good. And your hope in putting these briefings on is that you're able to connect with people who might want to do business with you?
Most people find lawyers to be scary. That is not what I aspire to. And also I want to make it clear in being able to convey information to them. So it's kind of a test run. One of the purposes for these people attending is to see if they think that I offer a service that might be of help to them and that they might want to actually work with me.
Oh, good. Well, I would think one of the challenges one would have in aging is just the fear of, I don't know, losing my assets, being a burden on my family. I would guess you become a bit of a counselor.
I am, and that's one of the joys for me, because I've been doing this for over 30 years. I have a lot of experience, and my clients have brought to me a lot of experience. I'll give you one short example. I had a son I talked to last week. His mother wears an alert around her neck, and he sees her every Sunday. He picks her up at 7:45. They go out for breakfast. Mm. She fell down Saturday night at 11:30 in the bathroom and decided she wouldn't push the button on her alert because she didn't want to bother her son. He'd be by at 8:30 or 9:15 in the morning. When he came in there, he was just livid, upset with her, worried about her, you know, well-being. He called the firemen to help pick her off the floor. They asked her why she didn't push the alert. Was it not working? She said, no, I just didn't want to bother my son.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's bad for everybody.
Right.
So we sat and talked about some ways to solve that.
And really helping the family realize that as a son, I would want to help. It wouldn't be an imposition. It's an imposition if you don't call.
Right. But as people age, they don't want to be dependent on their family. They don't want to be a burden. They don't want to be a trouble. But because of that attitude, it creates just great chaos in the family.
If you've been listening, I'm talking with Susan Graham. Susan is the owner of Senior Legal Edge, Senior Edge Legal.
Well, most people don't like the word aging and they don't like the word senior, but basically it's to help people who are in retirement arrange their lives so they get to stay as independent as they can and have the right people involved making decisions for them when they can't. We help them figure out how to protect their assets and protect their families at the same time.
Very good. So share the phone number that people could reach you at.
If you would call 208-344-0375.
Good. Welcome. Well, sure glad having you on the show today, Susan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
And we will be back right after this.
Andrew Smith, a salesperson, is getting ready to walk into the biggest meeting of his life. His sales are way down this year, and so is his confidence. His heart thumps. He can't catch his breath. He should have called Sandler Training first. Sales is a tough business, but Sandler Training uses continual reinforcement with ongoing training and individual coaching. You won't fail because we won't let you. Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement.
Hi, I'm Jim Stevens of Sandler Training in Boise. Business owners, do you find yourself struggling to get the results that you know you and your team deserve? Let's be candid. If you knew what to do, you'd be doing it. It may be time for you to get humble and ask for help. Truly great leaders rely on the support of a mentor to hone their skills. Ready to take the leap of faith and tap into your greatness? Call me today at 429-9275. That's 429-9275.
And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Each and every week, we have a segment devoted to business leaders, business owners, and entrepreneurs talking to you about some of the things they have learned in life's lessons. I'm glad to bring to you Susan Graham, who's the owner of Senior Edge Legal. She has been on our program before. And Susan is a client of mine, is how we got connected. And I have learned so much, Susan, from having you as a client. I didn't realize how much real risk there is in protecting assets from all sorts of things. So talk to our listeners a little bit about what your business does to help protect assets.
One of the ways we protect assets for the children of someone who's died is if the parent would set up what we call an inheritance trust, then the money that goes into that trust is going to be protected from divorces, lawsuits, creditors, and bankruptcy. In addition, the parent can be assured that when their child dies, the money actually goes down to their grandchildren rather than going to their son's widow, second husband.
Right. And how does that work?
Well, after we talk through your circumstances and what your goals are, then what we do is create a document. We call it an inheritance trust. It's really like a shoebox. And what it does is it just sits there empty until you die. And then when you die, the money, instead of going to your son or daughter directly, goes into this shoebox. So the $300,000 goes into that shoebox. They invest it any way they want, mm-hmm. and they're the ones who make the decisions about the investments. They can take the money out if they choose to, but when somebody's knocking at the door saying, you owe me money from that car wreck, you owe me $100,000, you can say, no, I'm not giving you the money, and there's no way they can force that money to be taken out of that shoebox. In a divorce, if the parents had died and there's $300,000 in the shoebox, Idaho law says that's the separate property of the child who inherited the money, and that separate property is not available for the divorce proceeding. So the spouse will not be able to get any portion of that money.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, I happen to know, Susan, that you're passionate about a lot of things. You are working on founding a nonprofit called The Village. Share the vision you have for this to our listeners.
I'm working with another group of enthusiastic volunteers to create a membership organization here in the Boise Valley. It's called Boise at Home, and it's modeled after the Beacon Hill Village that was created about 10 years ago in Boston. The concept is to allow people to age and live independently in their homes and their community as long as possible. And to do that, they receive volunteer services to help do some minor repairs and to go out to lunch with them or to help weed the garden or walk your dog. In addition, if they needed heavier services, like somebody, a plumber who really needs to do some major work, there's a referral system of other professionals who've provided services to members and volunteers in this organization. So at least you have a beginning step for finding a good person to prepare some services for you. And then also there's a community feature, meaning there'll be classes and and events that they can join.
That's fantastic. I love the entrepreneurial vision that you have to see a need for a community like this and then not just throw up your hands and say, gee, somebody should do that, but you actually roll up your sleeves and you make it happen. That's the type of entrepreneurialism that we really celebrate on this program. What inspired you to say, you know what, something needs to be done about this?
Well, I am passionate about seniors. I think they're just wonderful people and have done so much in their lives and are underappreciated. And as they age, their families may not be in the community. Their friends have moved or died away, or moved away or died, or they have some dementia or lack of mobility issues. So their worlds become really isolated. And I think that's just wrong.
Mm.
And they just need a few things, a few hands up to make life easy, like changing the light bulb and somebody cleaning out the gutter. And then they also need to go out. They need to go out to lunch with someone, or coffee, or go on a field trip to the Birds of Prey, or
right.
or have an activity that's constructive and helping other people in the community. So I just think it'll be a joy to get this off the ground.
Yeah, I do too. If you're interested in becoming a part of this vision, I'm sure there's room for volunteers, perhaps donors. How would they reach you to become a part of this?
Well, I didn't bring with me the phone number for Boise at Home, so call my office,
okay,
which
great.
Is 208-344-0375, and just indicate your interest, and I'll call you back, or someone else will call you back. Yes, we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for certainly people to sign up as members. We're looking for donations or other providers in this community who have a service that they think that might be of help to these seniors. A member would be somebody who would want to receive these services and have not only the volunteer services available, but also the community activities. So there are a variety of categories. There are four categories. Be a member. You can be a volunteer, which means that you are willing to donate your time to provide a variety of services. And then there's the providers, and those are people who will provide services that are paid for by the members. And then there's also a donor category.
So any one of those are open for grabs. Give your phone
Absolutely.
Number one more time.
My phone number is 208-344-0375. And when you call, if you'd say that you're interested in Boise at Home, that's the name of our Boise village, then I or someone else will call you back to see how we can coordinate or help you out.
That's terrific. Now, back to your company. When should I even think about estate planning? I mean, certainly it's premature now, or is it?
No, mid-50s is not premature, although in the mid-50s people start to wake up, and I will tell you the average age of my client is in their mid-70s. I don't know why it takes that long for them to wake up. Many people in their mid-50s to mid-60s are in thinking about, gee, someday I may retire, and that's when they actually think, oh, maybe I need an estate plan.
Maybe I better take some action.
Yeah. And the sooner you do it, the better, because if you say, well, I'll wait and do that when I'm 75 or 70, you may lack the capacity to do it, meaning the mental or physical ability to actually contract, or, you know, it just slides by because you didn't deal with it before and you won't deal with it now, and then there's a crisis.
Is there a point where it really is too early? I mean, I have life insurance. Do I really need a trust set up?
You may not need a trust set up. And your question was, when is it ever too early? As soon as someone has children, I mean, if you're in your 20s and you have children, I strongly recommend you have an estate plan, because then, if nothing
really?
Else, you get to a point who's going to be the guardian for your children. Yeah, it may not have no money, but who raises your children, their values, their morals, that's really important. And you get to choose if you have a proper estate plan in place. If you don't, the court's going to figure it out.
Is a will part of that? And what else is involved in that estate planning?
If you're a young person, then just a will is normally sufficient. If you're older, depends on how old you are, your family circumstances, your resources, then at some point for a number of people, a revocable trust is an option. But for a young person who has no money, there's no point in that. The primary focus would be who's going to be the guardian for your kids.
So just spell that out clearly so that the government doesn't decide for you.
Absolutely. You can do lots better than that. We address the concerns that people bring up, and I show them a variety of ways that they can set up plans that protect themselves.
And out of that, you may decide that you need Susan and her team's help in you planning your future.
Correct. That's what it's sort of an odd addition. I mean, people come because they want the information. I know they also come to see, gee, what's Susan look like? And is she a nice lady, or do I want to work with her or never?
Fine. That's terrific. Well, we really appreciate you being on the show. Share with our listeners one more time your phone number in case they'd like more information.
Yes, my phone number is 208-344-0375.
And the phone number one more time?
208-344-0375.
This is Jim Stevens, your host for the Entrepreneur segment of our program. We will be back just after this.
As a sales manager, you do what it takes to motivate your team, like having regular sales meetings and providing coaching and training when needed. But as a sales manager, how do you improve your performance? Sandler Sales Training has 6 free suggestions for you to become a more effective manager. Just visit crossroads.sandler.com for your free download. Attitude, behavior, and becoming a resource are just a few of the areas where you may improve your skills as a manager, a mentor, and a motivator. Sandler Sales Training invites you to grab these 6 free tips today at crossroads.sandler.com. You can use these suggestions to examine your attitudes and actions, which can help you interact better with your sales team and improve their performance. Become a better leader today. Again, that's crossroads.sandler.com. Sandler Sales Training, finding power in reinforcement. Let them show you how. Visit crossroads.sandler.com today.
And welcome back. This is your host, Jim Stevens, for the Sandler Training Hour. I am delighted to have with me on the line Kim Booker. Kim is in Fort Worth, Texas. She is one of our Sandler coaches, mentors, and she's a rising star in our association. If you're with us on the first segment, you've discovered that Kim was the fastest decision maker ever in the history of Sandler sales. She bought a franchise in 3 days. And Kim's been talking to us about some very insightful tips and tactics regarding the keys to success. One, she talked about asking yourself, what's on the menu? If you're going to control what's in your mind, you've got to control what's on the menu. Number two, she talked about the circle of control. And I know, Kim, you're locked and loaded with some additional tips and tactics for success in sales. Take it away.
Okay, great. One of the other things, you know, we talk about in the sales world is to protect your mind. Guard your mind. It's kind of the old theory, garbage in, garbage out. But it's real easy in sales to have some friends or other people that have been there a long time and you're in the middle of the pack or maybe just new and people tell you that won't work, don't try this, the company's never going to be competitive, you know, we're too high. You'll start hearing those things and pretty soon it starts polluting your mind and you find yourself going, boy, I need to make the cold calls, but I already sound defeated before when I make those calls. So you really have to focus on being around the positive people. I have always made it a point in any organization to find the people that are doing it the best. Most salespeople are very good about helping others, especially if you say, you know, Jim, you're doing a great job. What is it you found that made you successful? Instead of spending a lot of time with the people that aren't successful and listening to all the reasons why.
So that's one of the things I love about this show because it lets me tap into the brain trust of people like you, Kim, who are the experts, who have had great success. So thank you so much for being a giver.
Oh, yes. And I want to go to people like you, and the Sandler Network has been great about that. But we all have such experiences, and we can learn from each other. And, you know, it also makes you think about before you tell somebody something doesn't work, I'm always cautioning people to say, you know, if you're going to give advice like that to a new person, maybe in your sales organization, hey, you might say, hey, you know what? I haven't tried that in a while. I'm looking for some new ideas. That might work, right? And don't go be the naysayer. So I see that impact people.
That's a great point. What other strategies have you found successful in your career in sales and management?
Managers and sales, you know, in the Sandler world, we talk about pay time and no pay time. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there on time management, and you can get overwhelmed with spending time on it. But one of the things that helped me a lot is do the bagels every day. It's a Sandler acronym, and B is for behaviors. And I learned to only do my top 5. And when I learned that, that changed kind of my life in Sandler. And I teach that all the time. So, and because I do journal some, but that was an easy, quick way for me to start the day if I didn't have a lot of time, and I try to get all my participants to do that. But bagels, B stands for behaviors. It's not a to-do list that I got to pick up the pot roast and everything else. Typically, we'll make a list and start with the easiest things first, right,
right.
Jim? That's human
that's
nature.
So true.
Oh, I got a list.
Yeah.
I'll call Jim my friend first.
Right.
Check that email and look at that YouTube video, The Grumpy Cat.
Right.
I tell salespeople that I train and managers as well, sometimes it's good for people to write that down the night before so they kind of get it out of their head. They know their top 5 things that are important to their business. And let's caveat that in the pay time world, those are usually not the easiest things. They may be, in a salesperson, it may make 20 prospecting calls. It may be call that customer that you have the gut feeling that they're not going to buy, but you've been keeping them on the forecast
right.
to feel good.
Right.
Need to move that along one way or the other. In the management world, it may be to have a difficult conversation or one-on-one coaching with one of your people. Kind of wish they would just get it, but they just haven't. Top five is B for bagel in the bagel world. For A, some people will put something, an attitude. You know, you can write one of the Sandler rules, or you can write something that helps you feel good, reflect, and be more positive about the day. Like my favorite Sandler one is, it's not how you feel that determines how you act, it's how you act that determines how you feel. And I write that a lot. Sometimes we don't feel like prospecting. So if we waited till we felt like it, we would never do it.
We'd be out of business.
yeah, we'd be out of business. Or sometimes I'll tell people to write five things you're appreciative for under A. You know, just easy to start the day by saying, hey, I appreciate, you know, five things that get you in the right frame of mind. G is for goal. I personally kind of encourage people, you can write the same goal over and over again. You know, it doesn't have to be every day is a new goal. It can be, hey, putting that personal or that business goal right in front of you, just real quick, jotting it down. Every time we write down a goal, it reinforces what, you know, we need to be focused on. E is for evaluate. What I say is, let's look at yesterday or the day you just finished. Evaluate it. Did I spend too much of my pay time? You know, maybe in the sales world, a lot of people become professional visitors, Jim. I don't know if you see that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They'll say, gee, I need to, the reason I can't prospect him is, you know, I got all these customers, and then you start asking, and then a lot of times they're calling on the customers that are friendly to them, but it's not a sales call, and there's really not a service issue. And evaluate yesterday. Did I make the calls? Did I do what I needed to do? L is for lessons learned. And believe me, you may have to write that same lesson learned many times. So we were talking in class the other day. One of the lessons learned was people were saying, do not email a quote, you know, especially to a
right.
brand new prospect.
Right.
It's just, I learned that lesson. It doesn't work out well, so don't do it again.
That is such a good point, because I think too often we take the easy way out, the way that doesn't really cause us pain. If you're just joining us, my name's Jim Stevens. I'm the host of the Sandler Training Hour. You're listening to Kim Booker, who is a Sandler franchise owner, trainer, and coach in Fort Worth, Texas. Kim's been sharing with us some strategies and tactics about sales, business development, and management. If you want more information, you can call us at area code 208-429-9275, or you can reach us at the web at crossroads.sandler.com. So Kim just talked a little bit about a daily habit of going through bagels, and that's an acronym that stands for, the first one, Kim, is behaviors?
Right, behaviors, and I kind of think the top five that are going to help you grow your business are the most important.
A is attitude, G is goal, E is evaluate, and L is lessons learned. I think that's such a great concept. Do you think, Kim, it's important that you're writing it down by hand? Can it be electronic? Tell us about the mechanics of when you're doing this on your own.
I do it in my journal, and some days I have time to journal and some days I don't. But either way, I do that on my journal.
And when you say journal, is that a book? Is it a binder and you're writing using pen and paper?
Yes, good question. Yes, I am handwriting, and I like the handwriting. I do have some people that have adopted the bagels, and they will actually email it. They'll do it electronically. Some have a form, and then some people actually kind of hold each other accountable. I have some people that are accountability partners, and they'll email their bagels. They'll just type it in an email and email it to each other or to their manager to kind of say, hey, this is what I'm focused on, and it's a part of their accountability. And it typically, you know, might take 5 to 10 minutes.
So we've covered of the top secrets to success. What's on the menu? What is your circle of control? How do you guard your mind? Pay time, no pay time, managing bagels. What else do you have in your treasure chest there?
Well, I call it it helps me remember the three P's that I think are the critical thing, especially for salespeople and managers as a coach to do. That is practice. I kind of changed it from role play, because role play, sometimes people get nervous. So practice,
right.
And that means that I don't care if it's out loud in the car. You can't just listen to you and I, Jim. You know, you can listen, but it's somewhat like going to church. Sometimes I have to practice it or I'll sin again.
Right.
I have to make it my own. I have to say it out loud.
Right.
Practice what you're going to do, especially on these calls where you're going back in to present and you've invested time and effort effort, spend a lot of time working on that little proposal, right, or the big proposal on the part numbers and the pricing, and we don't spend a lot of time on practice. So that goes into my second P, which is pre-call planning. I tell salespeople, there's some people that say you should spend at least half the time of the appointment pre-call planning. I say, man, if we spent 5 minutes pre-call planning about how we're going to go back in, get them engaged again so it's not just me doing the bobblehead presentation. What questions did I not get asked last time, you know, about the decision-making process or the budget? Pre-call planning. And the third P is post-call. Sometimes we call it debrief, but to fit in the three P's, I call it post-call.
Yeah.
Get in the car, post-call. I get in the car, I can't wait, you know, 2 days to sit in front of my manager necessarily, because sometimes we forget key information. But post-call, evaluate, what did you do well every time? What did I do well? Well, I did an upfront contract. I did find out about why they don't like their current vendor. Good. And then you say, what could I have done differently? You have to do that. The one thing, if I could get salespeople to not do, is to take self-responsibility and not externalize things. Like, don't say I lost it. They're probably going to buy from somebody else that's cheaper. I want you to think, what could I have done? What could I have done differently? Because that's where we really learn, is to be honest. You don't even have to tell your boss sometimes. It's just sitting in the car saying, you know what? I talked way too much during that call.
Good.
I spent 20 minutes talking about golf and the weather, and by the time we got down to the important questions, the customer was running out of time and asked me to email it, and I felt pressure to do that. Those are the three P's.
Great advice. My guest today is Kim Booker. Kim is a franchise owner in Fort Worth, Texas, a sales manager, coach, trainer, and she's going to be with us in the last segment. Our next segment is called Entrepreneur Radio. In Entrepreneur Radio, we get to talk to other business owners and learn from their successes and failures, both locally here in the Treasure Valley and throughout the nation. If you'd like to be on that segment of this show, give me a call at area code 208-429-9275, or you can catch us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We will be back right after this.
So I have on the line with me Scott Friend. Scott is with CMIT Solutions. Scott, you've been in the Sandler process for what, about 6 months?
Yes, 6-7 months. Yeah.
So tell us about your experience. What have you thought so far?
Well, let me set the stage for you first. So my background is IT management, managing large IT teams and large software and third-party software. I was always on the side of a buyer, before I started this business. So no sales experience whatsoever. Buying, obviously a big part of that procurement process in a large corporation. Making the jump from a buyer to now I need to sell is a huge challenge for me. And I never wanted to become a salesman, so to speak. And I hesitated. Our franchise really stressed the need for us to get into Sandler. And I will admit that my first 6 months when I started this business, I didn't want to spend the money or the time to do Sandler.
Oh.
And it's not that I didn't believe in it. I just didn't really understand it. And I was so busy starting the company up that I just put it off as I really don't need this. Yeah. I really don't need this. And initially I was closing lots of small deals and things were going great. And I was getting my feet off the ground and everything was going along just fine. And then I started losing some potential clients that I thought I was going to get. And I started making mistakes and I realized I'm making these mistakes and losing out on business. And when I talked to my peers in the franchise that have all been part of Sandler or currently in Sandler, their answers were always, hey, well, Sandler will teach you how to deal with this situation. And Sandler teaches you this and Sandler this. And I got tired of hearing it. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, all right, fine. And I was one of the worst when it comes to getting me to try Sandler out. And so I did. And I'm really glad I did because, again, I don't have sales background. I don't have a process. You know, I just thought, hey, I'm this fun, likable guy. I can sell to anybody, It's just not true. I mean, business owners, especially smaller business owners, right? They're frugal. They, you know, their IT budgets. I mean, you know, it's hard for them to even think about, you know, having an IT budget. There's just some things that I've had to learn that Sandler has really helped me with to get clients happy or willing to work with me first of all, and comfortable with me. And what I really like about Sandler is it's not a pushy sales process whatsoever. It's almost the opposite. It's something that I have been able to embrace and do. And, you know, I could tell story after story about successes that I've had that are based on me using some of the Sandler practices.
Does one particular story pop in mind that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah. I've had a client where normally I went into this particular client and I had no idea where I was at when we got done with our proposal. So we go through an assessment, we come back with a proposal, and we go to finish and close out. And normally I'm like, hey, you know, you probably got some things to think about. And I, you know, would make those mistakes many times and walk out the door. This particular client, I remembered the Sandler process and I said, hey, I need to ask them, hey, well, how are you feeling about this on a scale from 1 to 10? And right then and there, I got an answer of a 10, right? So I knew I didn't have to sell anymore. And I knew that we could move forward and get a signed contract right then and there. Yeah. When normally I'd walk out and get back with them in a week or whatever and slow the process down. And when they were already excited and I had them on the line and they were ready to move forward and they wanted to move forward right away, but I normally would never do that.
Right, right. So it allows them to close themselves.
Absolutely.
It really does. Well, Scott, in case somebody would like to visit with you about your Sandler experience, what number would they reach you at or how would they contact you?
I can be contacted on my website, CMIT Solutions of Meridian. You can Google me or you can give me a call at my business number, 208-608-5500.
Thank you so much, Scott Friend with CMIT Solutions.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. We're glad to have you with us. I have as my guest today, Kim Booker. Kim has been talking to us about the top secrets for success in sales. There's really too many to go over. If you didn't catch the first two segments of the show, go to our website, crossroads.sandler.com. Find the page that has to do with radio shows and upload this show. It has some dynamic tactics and techniques that if you're a sales manager, a great salesperson who wants to enhance his or her skills, you're going to want to listen to Kim's interview over and over and over again. And by the way, Kim, during the break, we got an email from one of our listeners that said, hey, bagels is plural. What's the S stand for? So take it away, Kim. Tell us about the S in bagels.
Yes, the S in bagels, perfect, is for a success. So something you did well. You could have had the toughest day. You know, you could have lost a sale. You need to write down something that was a success. And this can be a win in your business life, of course, or your personal life. But we always cannot get focused on the negative. Back to that, guard your mind. We also have to do that within ourselves because it's good to end on a good note. So
nice.
What you do well is success.
Nice. And if you're a listener who's just joined us and you're thinking, bagels, what's bagels? What that is something that Kim has every morning for breakfast. She spends time doing these things. B stands for behavior, identifying the top five things that she needs to accomplish in the day. A is attitude or appreciation. What is it that she's appreciative of or what is her attitude reinforcement? G stands for goals, setting a clear goal and reinforcing it day after day. E is to evaluate yesterday. Analyze what did you do yesterday and what one thing could you do better. L stands for lesson learned. What did I learn from my day yesterday? And the S is success. So, Kim, thank you so much for those tactics. I'd like to shift the conversation a little bit and let's spend this last segment tapping into your expertise as a business owner. You have built and sold successful businesses, and part of that was building a sales team. So give us some advice, tips and tactics out to the managers or business owners that are listening to us today.
Okay, great. One of the things that I think is one of the most important things that I learned firsthand, and I see it all the time, is in almost every industry, we have the ability to hire for character. And so many times people will get, they think it's so much easier to hire somebody that has been in the industry and sold that product. And sometimes it honestly gets like we're passing the old maid card around and we're hiring from a party of one. You know?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And I asked a business owner one time, I said, what's your hiring process? He goes, man, anybody that's breathing and has done flooring before. I mean, that's literally what their process was, but it wasn't working out well. To shift, you had to start looking for things, and you know, we have some great assessments and some tools, but to come up with an actual process that keeps you always looking, always be recruiting, but also you got to put some things in place that you could hire for someone with good character, and then we certainly can help, but you can teach them how to sell. You can teach them their product. In every case, Jim, and I know you've seen this too, once we learn a little bit about the customers that we're working with, we could go out and probably prospect for them by asking some questions that we learn pretty quickly and probably start getting, now we can maybe do the proposal and all the technical components to it, but we could find some prospects by just knowing what questions to ask and getting the customer to talk. My point is hire for character, and with that, you've got to really protect your sales culture, meaning you've got to understand as a business owner that if I'm answering your phone, I am in sales. I am in sales, business development, but if you spend a lot of money and the phone rings, let's say in your marketing or whatever, and I answer the phone and say, you know, XYZ Roofing, can I help you? Oh, can you hold, please? Oh, you're interested? Well, our salespeople are out in the field. They'll call you back later. Let me take your number. I mean, all of that could have a huge impact on your business if you're a business owner. So hire for character. Have a way to, we can teach them the product, teach them how to sell. And then the other part is make sure you have your culture right so everybody in your organization understands how they affect business development, and you know, you don't let that negativity creep in. Good. Like we talked about for salespeople, you don't let it creep into your organization, because that can be just so detrimental overall.
If you'd like to be a part of this conversation, you can join us by calling area code 208-429-9275, or you can reach us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. My name is Jim Stevens. I'm your host, and you're listening to Kim Booker, who's a Sandler business owner in Fort Worth, Texas. Kim has a background in business development, management, successfully investing in and buying and selling businesses, and we're tapping Kim's brain in this final segment regarding management. Kim, talk to our listeners a little bit about this elusive topic of accountability. What do I do to help make sure my team is accountable, and maybe even how do I hold myself accountable?
That's a great question, and our friend Hamish Knox has written a book for Sandler and accountability, and we went over that in our management class, and he points out one big myth that I love, but it's not, you're not holding your people accountable, and they shouldn't see it as a big brother mentality. You're holding them and yourself accountable in a way that makes them reach their goals, right? And a lot of times the manager doesn't understand their salespeople's goals and what their objectives are, but accountability should not be the dirty word in management.
Yes.
It should be more about how you can coach them to being kind of self-assess where they are and how they fix things. And I think managers should do things kind of be more consistent. You know, like we tell salespeople, don't wing it on a sales call. I would love it if the managers wouldn't wing it either when I have a one-on-one with a sales rep, which I wish, you know, it's good for everybody to do that. But instead of just kind of going with the flow and we chit-chat, here's my five-question objective that I like people to say, hey, if I want to help somebody develop some accountability. And first of all, before we get to the questions, you've got to have them do a cookbook. In the Sandler world, that means we're tracking their behaviors. It's an analogy of the recipe, that if I made a bad recipe and I had no idea why it was so sweet because I just used ingredients like a little bit to taste, some of, well, then I don't know how to fix it. So in the management world, you've got to have them track the behaviors every week so we know what they're doing, right, and what's important. If I was sitting down with you, Jim, and we were going through your cookbook, I would say, here's my five questions. I would say, well, Jim, based on last week, what is your perspective on how you did? And then I'm going to let you answer all the things. It might be that your dog ate your cell phone and you didn't get to make the calls and you let them talk, okay? Let them get all out.
Good.
And then I say, well, based on what you told me, what would you change about last week that would allow you to hit the goals that you set for yourself? And then I listen again, and they go through it. The third thing I would say is, let me give you a little bit of feedback from my perspective. Managers, if you're going to give feedback, positive feedback can be on their character. Like I can say, you know, Jim, I see that you're working so hard, and you don't even think about helping somebody new. But if I'm going to give them a little bit of negative feedback, if you want to call it that, I can talk about their specific behaviors. Don't say that you're lazy or those kind of things.
Good.
I say, you know, for Jim, from my perspective, I've been doing this a while, and it looks like without making at least 50 calls in a week, you're not going to be able to hit your numbers, right?
That's a great tonality to use.
Fourth thing is, then I say, we get through that, and I say, hey, okay, so going forward, looking at this next week, let's look at what goals you have and how do you think it's going to turn out differently. And then we let them talk. And then the last thing I say, you know, what help do you need from me you know, obviously managers can adapt, but I kind of came up with this because I think that the more that people can be look at themselves and feel in control of the process, and also that they know that the next time I do have a one-on-one with Kim, and I do this whether they're doing well or they're not doing well. Sometimes managers just want to, they don't want to focus on the people that are doing well, but they need that one-on-one time, even if it's a phone call or a touch base. So, and then the last thing I'll say about accountability in our time is when you have a new rep, in my opinion, for the first 90 days, and I hope managers, if they could do it and they would see the benefits, they wouldn't hesitate, but it's good to have a touch base first thing in the morning, right? Maybe that bagel thing. 5 minutes, have an agenda. What are the things you're going to do today? And then to touch base at the end of the day. Doesn't have to be long conversations, and there could be some other things, but I'm just saying, hey, for the first 90 days, Jim, you and I are going to talk 5 minutes on the way to work. I need you to have your top five. Let's talk through, you know, what behaviors you're doing. And then we're going to talk at 4:30, 5 minutes. And if you need more, we can schedule that. You know, let's see what you got done and what help do you need and those kind of things. So I think that would change your, it would take, you think, oh gosh, I don't have the time. But after that 90 days, it will be life changing as a manager. You'll feel like a weight has been lifted and you've taught them to use their muscles. Just like working out. You can't keep lifting it for them. You can't always be the fireman putting out fires. Your job is to train them, kind of like children, to go on their own. But we need the accountability in the very beginning, right? Just like a child.
Right.
They need our help in the beginning so they can run and go on their own.
Boy, great points. And speaking of time, it's evaporated. This has been such a great interview. I can guarantee this one will be downloaded many times from our website. If you'd like to hear the interview in its entirety, you can go to crossroads.sandler.com. There you can get this interview and download it for review and reinforcement. I sure thank you, Kim. Kim Booker from Fort Worth, Texas, you've been a terrific guest, and what great insights. Thank you so much.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, thank you for being a part of the show today. Really appreciate those of you who have called in, emailed, or joined us. My name is Jim Stevens, the host of the Sandler Training Hour. Grateful for you spending some of your Saturday with us. Give us a call at area code 208-429-9275 or catch us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. Sell, sell, sell!